Show with Luke Brednam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M. Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on The Catch-Up. Luke Bradnam, Cherie Everett with you. And we are live from our homes, bringing you everything you need to know here on the Gold Coast. How's life at Sanctuary Cove for you, Cherie?
Yeah, life is awesome. We go for morning walks, afternoon walks, and it's awesome. I'm actually loving life in lockdown. I think it's awesome.
And what's the supermarket situation like there? Because I got to tell you,
well, we have an IGA within Sanctuary Cove, and they deliver. So as long as you spend more than $50, they deliver. So I just do an order like once every 10 days. I just did a big one for this coming Friday, so it'll be delivered. And then, so that's 2 weeks exactly since my last one.
Really?
Yeah.
God, you're organised.
So organised.
My old way of living was I shopped every day. Like, I'd go to the supermarket.
Oh, that'd do my head in.
I love it. So I just go into the supermarket, never know what I'm going to get, and I enjoy it. I just walk around aimlessly for no reason. And now, I've been barred from the supermarket. My girlfriend's barred me from the supermarket. Now we do one shop like a big bunch of nerds and buy all of our stuff for the week. And she doesn't even let me do the shop. She goes and does the shop, which drives me crazy.
Because
she does, because she has no idea what she's buying. And she comes home, she'll be like, can you make something with this? She can't cook, so she buys stuff, and then she's just like, oh, I got some stuff here. Can you make stuff with this? And I'll go, all right, well, what am I going to make? What have we got here? A bag of carrots, some curry powder, and a bag of flour. That's what she'll have. You go, you can make something with that, okay? You're a genius. Yes. I'm like, no. I'm like,
you're good, but you're not that good.
I'm like, George Columbaris couldn't make something with that. You think I'm going to? You know? But I do. I end up making something out of what she brings home.
See, it's very character building, this lockdown state. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have been enjoying the challenge of trying to put together dinner every night from the ingredients that she brings back. It's like the mystery box challenge on MasterChef.
It is. You know? I think tomorrow we need to do a whole segment on the funniest things that you have made out of what's in your pantry.
Yeah, last night she brought home, it was like, she goes, oh, I've got stuff from the supermarket, here it is. And I go, okay, what have I got here to work with tonight? I've got a stapler, a rolling pin, and an apple. Okay. You know, I turned it into a lamb roast. That's how much of a genius I am.
So talented.
Oh, I really am. Hey, anyway, coming up on the show this afternoon, Ivan from Married at First Sight will join us. We'll get to the shenanigans that happened there last night. I caught something weird in my crab pot. You can hear about that. We do Wednesday Whinge for you, April Fool's Day today. Dobbo joins us, tells us what's happening with the rugby league, all that, and a whole heap more. I mean, you can listen to it for yourself. Why have me tell you about it when you can just listen to this? It's The Catch-Up. It's starting right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
We might be in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic, but that's not going to stop us doing this because it is a Wednesday afternoon after all.
Because it feels good to let it out. It's the Rush Hour's Wednesday Whinge.
I was goofing earlier in the show, Cherie, saying, what could we possibly have to whinge about at the moment?
I have to say, I'm actually enjoying this lockdown. I'm actually enjoying being home. I've done so much paperwork. I've caught up with so much in my office. I'm actually enjoying this coronavirus stay-at-home part.
I can't believe you're saying that. Like, it's driving me crazy.
I actually am. I'm loving it.
Like, I've got ADHD, I'm sure of it, non-diagnosed, but I can't sit still for 3 seconds. And so to be locked up in my home for basically 23 hours a day at the moment, it's driving me crazy. I'm really doing it tough.
But you're in an apartment, whereas we're on a house, so we have a big block of land and stuff, so we can at least go outside and walk around. I don't know if I could cope if I was in an apartment.
Okay, we're opening the phones up for you now. 13 27 10. Anything you want to whinge about? Now, it doesn't have to be coronavirus related. It can be. It's just anything you want to get off your chest, big or small. 13 27 10. Can I tell you what's happening for me, Cherie? Mine is coronavirus related. I've been watching an enormous amount of Netflix, not through the day, but of a night time. I've been staying up late watching Netflix, and I everything I watch just reminds me of how life used to be. I'll be watching movies, and I'll be going, no joke, I'm watching movies and I go, they're not social distancing. That's more than two people in a group. Like, just yes. regular people in movies, they meet each other and shake hands, and I'll go, don't do that! Like, it's a... Are you having that? Is that affecting you?
No, you know what? I haven't even watched any... I watched Maths last night because, you know, obviously we're doing interviews and stuff, so I need to know what was going on. But, no, my whinge today is about moisturiser. I know you might not get this one, Luke, but for all the women out there, they certainly will. I bought this really expensive moisturiser. I'm 44. I'm getting wrinkles. I'm getting old, and I don't like anything chemical, so this is all a la natural. It was $370 for this magic potion.
What a rip-off.
But it lasts about 3 months. No, it is, but I've got to put it in the fridge because it's all, you know, natural products and things. But anyway, I've had it since Christmas time. And it's getting towards the bottom. And it's a little, like it's a pump on top with a little straw that goes inside to the liquid. But they rip you off because the straw's not long enough and I can't get the bit at the bottom. So then I'm trying to take the top off to see if I can get into it. I can't. It's all like one whole mechanism. So then I thought, if I just like crack the top of it because it's glass, I'll crack the top and then I'll be able to reach in and get all the moisturizer out. Well, no, it just shattered into a million pieces and I had to throw the whole lot out.
Hey, and you thought you had problems in your life. Spare a thought for Cherie that can't get to her $377 moisturiser. The last little couple of centimetres at the bottom of the jar.
And now I'm going to be all wrinkly and gross.
Hey, you're beautiful to me, Cherie, and that's all that matters.
Thank you.
We're opening the phones. We did say anything, big or small, whatever you want to get off your chest, whatever you want to whinge about, we want to take your calls. Who we got calling through there, Cherie, to whinge?
We've got Pete in Pimpamar. Pete, what is your Wednesday whinge?
Oh, my Wednesday whinge, guys, is I've been for the past 3-4 weeks now being sent to the shop with my wife with a list of things that I need to get. So I get the trolley, I go around to grab the things, and there's like pasta. There's one packet or two packets of pasta left, and she's had two packets of pasta to make some spaghetti bolognese, whatever. And I've gone to get it, and there was another lady there and with a child in the seat, and she's looking at me, and I've gone, oh, that's all right, you take it, don't worry about it. So out of the list that I had, I walked around and I ended up giving everything to everyone and I came home with a 1 litre milk. And my wife goes, what's the matter? What's going on? There's nothing on the shop. I said, no, it's all gone. So I'm sick being a sucker, man. I'm telling you. Next time I'm going there just before they close, I'm going to do a run around and grab everything.
Good on you.
Are you going to be shouldering old ladies on walking frames out of the way to get the last bit of pasta?
Good on you, Pete. Let's try George Costanza. George Costanza, mate, push everyone out of the way.
I think a lot of people can relate. Tammy from Upper Coomera, what have you got to whinge about, Tammy?
I'm just angry that people are complaining about a lot of things when others have got mothers and fathers and people in nursing homes that they're not allowed to go and visit, and if they pass away, they can't be where they're with them at that time, and it's a really difficult stage for everyone, and grandparents that can't see their grandkiddies and stuff like that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if you've got to moan about your hair, that it doesn't look good, and, you know, it's other stuff that I could point out that I don't want to go into details with because it pisses me off. But I just feel that this is a really strong point, and I work in the nursing industry and I hear a lot about it at the moment, and I've got a very close friend that can't go and visit her mother, her mother has dementia, and it's just a really cruel time, and everyone should stop and think about the reality of this, you know, that there's real things
hear you,
out
Tammy,
there to moan about.
Exactly, and there's a lot of people doing it tougher. No matter how tough you think you're doing it at the moment, there's a lot of people that are doing it tougher, that's for sure. Good point, Tammy. Let's go to Brian from Bigger Waters. Brian, what have you got to whinge about, mate?
Mate, it's just us not going and being allowed out in our boats. They should stop the registration that we're paying for the boats and the trailers.
Hey, it's not a bad point, Brian.
There you go.
That is not a bad point.
Probably our vehicles as well. Our cars. If they stop our car registration for 6 months, that would help everyone out, especially the people that have lost their jobs.
Well, look, you're not allowed to use your boat at the moment for recreational use, and I'm going to go into more detail because it's a really grey area, Brian, and there's a few loopholes in it, which I think they've either got to tighten up or not make so grey. They've either got to make these loopholes black and white, or it's just going to be a disaster for everyone. I'll get into that a little later in the show, but absolutely, if they're telling us we can't use our boats at the moment, suspend our regos so we're not paying registration for no reason whatsoever. Hey, a good bunch of mixed whinges there we had, Cherie, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Okay, what I did today, I've got to tell you this story, Cherie, and okay. If you want to go check it out, it's up on my Instagram at the moment. It's Luke Bradnam on Instagram. You can check this out because it freaked me the hell out today, okay? I've had my crab pot in the water all week. I've been checking it every day. I go down today
to check the crab pot.
Are you
allowed
to do
that by the new instructions?
You're allowed to fish at home, Cherie, and that's what I was doing. I was on my pontoon, and I go down, I check the crab pot. In the crab pot, there's a big mud crab, the biggest muddy I've ever caught, actually. And there's I look at it, and I go, I've caught a bloody eel. And then I look closer, and it's not an eel. I've caught a sea snake in my mud crab pot.
No, right? Yuck.
I can see by the head that it's a sea snake, and you can see it on my Instagram. It's a bloody big sea snake, and I am freaked out by snakes. I've caught eels before in my crab pot, but never a sea snake. And I know enough that sea snakes are highly venomous. All right.
So how do you get it out of the crab pot?
Good question, Cherie. Really good question, because I'm sitting there with. And I'm pondering that exact thing, all right? I'm going, how am I going to get this highly venomous snake out of the crab pot? Now, my uncle, he lives in the same building complex as me. He's a lot smarter than me. And, like, how redneck does this sound? He's up on the 9th floor of the high-rise unit looking down at me, and he starts yelling out, get a stick! Get a stick and get it out with the stick! All I know, Cherie, is every time I've been to the Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary, they've told me that upwards of 90% of fatal snake bites in Australia are the result of someone trying to attack the snake with a stick or a shovel, okay?
Yes. So very true, very true.
So my uncle is saying, get a stick and fling it out with the stick. And I think to myself, that's a good idea. I'm going to go find a stick. All right. So I go back of my boat. I go to my boat and I've got a fishing gaff in my boat. And I get the gaff and I'm coming back and I'm just thinking, I know this is it for me. This is not going to end well. I'm not handy with sticks and I'm not handy with snakes. And now I've got to use this stick to get the snake out of the pot. And I know it's a venomous snake.
This doesn't sound like it's going well at all.
I'm not a smart man.
I honestly thought it was a cruel April Fool's Day joke by someone, but I could tell this is a proper sneeze snake. Anyway, the gods were on my side because as I get back to the crab pot, the snake has somehow managed to get its enormous fat head through the meshing. And just as I get back to it, it slithers off into the water and gets away. So I was so lucky, Cherie, that I didn't have to go and stuff around.
That is amazing.
I
honestly didn't know that we had venomous sea snakes on the Gold Coast.
Oh, go and check it out. Have a look. It's on my Instagram story at the moment. And then
yeah, I was just looking at it just then.
You've seen it, yeah. And my uncle went and found the snake. It's an olive brown sea snake, and they are highly venomous.
Wow.
And that's floating around in the Narang River at the moment. And then I had the big mud crab there as well, and I'm like, I feel so sorry for this big muddy because it spent 24 hours locked up in a bloody crab pot with a highly venomous snake. I'll let it go. I'm such a pussy.
Did you let it go? Good on you. Poor Mr. Mud Crab. Good on you.
Go and check it all out if you want to see it for yourself.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Most other years, today would have been like, fun aplenty on the breakfast radio program, Cherie, because it was April Fool's Day today, or it is April Fool's Day. But I don't think there were too many April Fool gags today, given that we've got so much drama.
No, I didn't even do one, and I am known for my April Fool's gags, but I didn't even do one today.
Can I tell you that what happened for me? First of all, I got done in an April Fool's joke. Not that it really bothered me too much because I don't drink anymore. I haven't had a drink for a couple of years, but I got sent an email and it said, as of midnight tonight, this is on Facebook, it goes, as of midnight tonight, all liquor stores will be closing down around the country. That's the new restriction. And then here's the story. And I click on the story and it says, April Fools, you idiot. Right. So that was how I got done. And then my girlfriend, she went and she goes, we've got a group chat with all of her family. So she puts out a message to them where she goes, I've got coronavirus. It's just been, I've just tested positive for coronavirus.
Oh, no.
And of course, then the group chat starts up. The messages go left, right, and center.
Oh, they'd be so worried.
Yeah. And then she waited until the first person to call, her brother calls her, and she's like, no, it's April Fool's. And he's like, that's not funny. You can't be doing that one. How many people would have used that today, you reckon, for an April Fool's?
Seriously, there would have been. Well, there was one that came out of New Zealand, and it was Jacinta Ardern come out and say, the lockdown is over. And then 20 minutes later said, nah, just kidding.
You can't do that.
It wasn't her. She hadn't put it out, but somebody else had made a meme, and it was doing its
right. rounds. Yeah, right. I mean, it's too serious to be joking around with, you know what I mean? But it would be interesting to see if anyone got done in a sting operation today, April Fool's. But if you got a story for us, if you got done today or if you got someone today, we'd love to hear your stories. Our number is 132710. It's definitely been the tamest April Fool's Day that I can ever recall, that's for sure.
It certainly has.
You know, usually there's some big one that gets done where it says, you know, Australia's just taken over New Zealand and it's becoming, you know, the new state or something like that.
The new New Zealand.
Yeah, but if there's been no real big ones anymore. But if you've got one for us, we'd love to hear from you. Hey, I don't know what Boston your kid's been doing while he's been locked up, Cherie, but my little girl, for the first time in her life, she has discovered the wonderful world of computer games with an old PlayStation that we've had.
Nice. So, tell her to jump on Fortnite. Look up Boston Everett.
Well, that's what she's done. She's hopped on Fortnite, but I was just reading about an NBA player who... I was talking to Coralie this morning. We went for a run together and she was telling me, oh yeah, I'm on Fortnite. And I said, well, do I need to buy that game for you? She goes, no, it's a free game, but there's some NBA player. And he said his kids somehow got hold of his credit card and they've racked up $26,000 worth of bills on his credit card, all
nasty.
On Fortnite. So,
you buy skins and you buy coins and you buy stuff. So no, I think Boston spends about $60 a month.
Oh, you're joking. Well, I mean, okay, I'm going to push her in the way of Minecraft or something that's a little less expensive, I think. But that would be an awful April Fool's Day joke. And it is April Fool's today. And we haven't actually heard of many April Fool's gags around the Gold Coast because there's so many serious things happening in the world. But
yeah,
Dean
true.
From Almost just called through. 132710's our number if ever you want to be a part of the show. What's your go, Dean? You got done in an April Fool's gag or did you do it?
Hey, mate. Yeah, I got a message sent to me from one of my good mates saying that the Bottle-O's, because of the coronavirus, was closing tonight at midnight. So if you had to get any booze, you've got to get it done now. And I freaked out, opened up the link, and just big bloody surprise, April Fool's, you got me good. I said, you bastard, you got me bloody good, because I was freaking out, thinking I have to go stock up on Jack. And, well, I don't have to. It's okay.
Mate,
got me bloody good.
I fell for the same one. I've got to be honest with you. I saw the same email that was doing the rounds. That's a pretty good one. But I don't drink, so it didn't bother me none too much, but it would have. Hey, 3 or 4 years ago, if I got that email, Cherie, I would have been down at the bottle shop at 7 a.m.
You wouldn't have even clicked on the link. You would have just jumped in the car.
You're not wrong. I would have been back in the ute up to every drive-through here on the Gold Coast. But hey, thanks for your call, Dean. And Lee from Tweedheads has called through as well. It sounds like Lee might have got done in the same one. Hey, Lee, what's your story?
Yeah, got done the same. I got a text message saying the bottle shops were closing at midnight. So I work and I got in my car, drove to the local bottle shop, and I bought the maximum amount I was allowed. And because it didn't, I needed my bottle of gin and my case of beer. I then went to drove to another bottle shop and got what I needed to make up, you know. And then at 2 o'clock when I got in my car, I got a text message saying from the friend, "Oh God, so sorry. I got had two. It was only an April Fool's joke. So I've just spent about $150 on grog. And I didn't have to.
Oh, that's mean.
There's worse things.
So anyway, I don't have to go to the bottle shop for a long time now.
Oh, that's a classic. I'll bet you the bottle shops, by virtue of that email gag, they have done a roaring trade today. I reckon that email was started by Mr. Dan Murphy. That's my theory.
Yeah, 100%. I was just going to say, I wonder who started it.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Last night on Married at First Sight, they've been spruiking this for weeks, saying that the reunion was going to be an absolute hellraiser, and it was.
And
this
it was.
this skank, Stacey, who absolutely made her husband pay the whole entire series because he pashed on with some chick, Haley, which was wrong and he should never have done it, don't get me wrong. But she made him pay like you wouldn't believe.
But did he only pash her, though?
Well, according to the show, yes, he did. So he said that they only pashed each other. And then, anyway, meantime, she'd slept with another contestant. Like, she actually got it on with another contestant, and she made this guy pay the whole entire series while she knew that she'd kicked it out wide with some bloke, Mikey, on the show as well. And it all came to a head last night. And Ivan, our mate Ivan, was there ringside, best seat in the house to see all the action unfold, and he joins us right now. Ivan, welcome to the show, guys. Mate. How are you?
Very good, guys. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. First of all, mate, congratulations. It looks like you guys have found love, you and your wife, and I'm really happy because there's nothing better than being in love, and I don't know if it's just for the show, but if you are, mate, I'm really happy for you.
Mate, very much appreciated. Yeah, definitely not just for the show. Myself and Alex formed a pretty genuine, if not the most genuine, in my opinion, relationship throughout the course of the experiment. And I do like to play it out in TV time, and that's where we're at last night. He's coming back together as a unity and you know, working things out. So that's what you saw unfold in relation to our relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. Now, getting to the train wreck that was last night, were you really nervous and worried when she stood up and tapped the glass and made the announcement? Could you have cut the ear with a knife?
Yeah, look, I mean, it was a little bit of suspense and anticipation for myself and Alex. I mean, a lot of us already knew that it was going to be addressed in the background because this is information that was leaked through like a girls' chat group. You know, during the week, and a few of the girls sort of got wind of it and said, "Nah, we're calling her out," sort of thing. There was a bit of cattiness involved, and so I could feel it coming. Nothing much fazed me in terms of the the drama and the scandal in the experiment, to be honest, as you've probably seen.
And mate, she just kept denying it, regardless of what evidence they kept throwing in front of her. And everybody was saying, "Look, you slept with her." Dude. She just kept denying it. You were there on the night, not that you were in the bedroom with them, but she dead set. She kicked it out wide with the dude. Yeah.
Look, I mean, you said it. I wasn't in the room, so I didn't see the act. But like, he's not going to lie. Mm. Since the denials and things, Mikey's actually gone on to do a lie detector test. So you can see that on his social pages, and I think they say like a perfect score is a positive 3, and he got like a positive 10. He's called Stone. He has to do the same thing, and she's not. So this is like an full legit setup. You can see it on his social media pages. So he's kind of done a lot of detective tests. Look, I've got nothing against Stacey as a person. I think, you know, we did once have quite a good friendship, and I think her and Michael were definitely on the road to making something work in the outside world, and maybe why she has some of this strong denial about, you know, what actually went on. But, you know, from where I'm standing, the writing was on the wall sort of thing.
That's just crazy. Now, do you think, we've obviously got more to see this coming Sunday, and you all sit down and you all chat to the experts. Does it come up again, or is it just smoothed over?
I'm sure things will want to be addressed on Sunday a little bit more eloquently and, I guess, calculated than everyone just yelling at each other over a dinner table. So I think you might get a bit more clarity or a little bit more screaming matches come Sunday night, maybe a bit of both.
Hey, we don't watch Married at First Sight for clarity or elegance. You know, we want the we want the train wreck, and we certainly got that last night.
Well, look, I can say to you guys, there's bound to be a little bit more of that when
of course there is.
The
any, any elegance that they might have had is going to get edited out. We know that much. Hey, we appreciate your time this afternoon, mate. And all honesty, mate, thanks. Congratulations on being in love. I'm really happy for you. And thanks for your time throughout the course of the entire series, mate, in case we don't get to chat to you again.
Anytime. Thanks, guys. All the best.
There he goes, Ivan from Married at First Sight. Did I say that right, Cherie? It's Ivan? Ivan?
And, Ivan, isn't it? Yeah, I Ivan. Don't know. Ivan? Seems like, I don't know.
He seems like a nice guy, and thanks very much.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Yesterday afternoon while we were on air, the news broke that recreational fishing and recreational boating is one of the things that come under the bans we've got at the moment. In other words, you shouldn't be fishing and you shouldn't be out in your boats at the moment while we're in this coronavirus pandemic lockdown phase. And there is a bit of a loophole which we need to discuss, Cherie. But before we do that, how about this one? I've just sent you a text message because on the Courier Mail website at the moment, they've got a photo of thinking about going out in your boat over the Easter getaway in your boat. Think again.
Oh.
And then they've got a photo of some lunatic out in his tinny. It looks like he's flaunting the rules and paying no attention to the guidelines that are being set at the moment. And I'm looking at the Courier Mail website to go, oh, who's this idiot that's out in their boat not paying any attention? I was thinking, it's me. They've got a photo of me.
It looks like Luke.
The photo of some bloke in their boat, just like with no regard to what's going on in the world at the moment. It looks like the most inconsiderate person in the world hooning about in their tinny. I go, that's bloody me. And what it is, it's a photo.
How old
from
is that
three,
photo?
The photo's 3 years old. It's a photo shoot I did with the Gold Coast Bully 3 years ago. And they've wheeled it out. And now I look like the poster child for people that have got no regard for society.
Being naughty.
Or no regard for the restrictions that are being placed on the coronavirus pandemic. I'm not happy about it, I've got to be honest.
Fair. No, poor Luke.
And anyway, so regardless of the fact that they're using my photo for this story, the article is that you can't go out for recreational fishing and you can't go out in your boat for recreational use. But there is a loophole, and here it is. It says that you can go out in your boat only if it's for essential travel. So what is essential travel? Essential travel is if you're using your boat for work purposes, which we all understand. Essential travel is if you're using your boat to get to the shops. Many of our listeners would live on places like Russell Island and would need their boat to get to the supermarkets. That's essential travel, and that is okay. You can also use your boat if you are going for fishing purposes, if that is your primary source of food. Now, what the reason they have that,
how can you govern against that, though? Because everyone will just say, I've got no money, I can't afford to eat, so I had to go fishing.
Well, that is the loophole. And what they have it is, it's basically for a lot of the indigenous communities in the state. They've been hunting with their boats, etc., for thousands and thousands of years. And it would be unfair to take away their primary food source by telling them they can't go out in the boat. However, what it's going to do, the problem it's going to present, is that people here on the coast are going to go, oh, yeah, well, I want to go and get the spotty mackerel at Mermaid Reef, and I want to be able to use that to feed my family, so I should be able to go out in my boat as well, and that's where the grey area is.
People will take advantage.
Absolutely. And so the wording you've got to listen to, the wording says if it is your primary source of food. So if you're going out in your boat and you're going out to catch a casual mackerel on a Sunday morning or whatever at Mermaid Beach Reef, that's not your prime, but 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, your food comes from Coles or from Woolworths. That's not your primary food source. If you're an Indigenous person or if you're a professional fisherman, that's a different story. But for recreational fishermen, you're not supposed to be going out fishing. But you can see how it's going to be a grey area and how people are going to use as a loophole, Cherie.
Exactly. But as a public announcement, don't you idiots ruin it for the people that do need to still go out in their boats. So don't be idiot and thinking you're going to beat the law and all that sort of stuff, because you're only going to ruin it for other people.
They will. You know, they absolutely will, Cherie.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
A remarkable story last night on Nine News where they're talking about taking the whole of the NRL, every club, Cherie, every player, plonking them all on Tangalooma Island, which is in Moreton Bay, and keeping them sequestered from the rest of society so that the footy season can go ahead. Now, I just mentioned this.
Stupid, doesn't it?
It doesn't sound stupid to me.
Don't you think so? I think that sounds ridiculous.
Well, Dobbo is the best insider in rugby league. He joins us right now. G'day, Dobbo. How are you, mate?
G'day. Well, listen, guys, I was given this story yesterday morning by Chris Johns. He gave me the proposal, and we're all in quarantine at the moment, and we broke the story last night on Nine News around this. This is something that is genuine. Now, let's get to the facts. The NRL at the present moment is broke. It has no money, and they get paid for play. So they want to survive. They need to have a product that they can sell, which means they need to get TV rights, which means that they'll get paid. So they need to play football. Now, at the moment, with COVID-19, we know how tough this is and how if one player got infected in a team, it could wipe out the competition. So what Peter Volandis and the NRL and the ARLC are wanting to do is to have all the players in one spot. Now, we talked about Calliope, which is just out of Gladstone, home of the mighty Calliope Roosters. That was a genuine, they had an appetite for that. But now Tangalooma Island is 100% on the table. So how it would work is that all the playing group, media, officials, the lot, they've got 1,500 beds over there, we're all heading to Moreton. And we're going to stay there. And you know what? The airstrip, they're going to turn that into 5 football fields for training. There's enough facilities there. And then over games, there'll be games at Seabus, there'll be games at Redcliffe, there'll be games at Suncorp Stadium. You get on the ferry, which is obviously owned by those guys and no one else will be on, straight onto a bus, straight to the game, broadcast back, and that's how it's going to work. This is being considered. I'm telling you.
Mate, you're saying that the media would go as well. That would include you, Dobbo, and I happen to know for a fact, as a mate of yours, that the last time you went to Tangalooma, he was supposed to go for a week. He lasted one night because he cracked it. There was no Foxtel on in the room he was in. And he came straight home. Would you be locked up over there as well, Dobbo?
Yes, but I wouldn't be in the same room that I was in last time. I could tell you that now. It wasn't a week. It was 3 days, and I didn't have a great memory there. Thanks for bringing up the breakdown of my relationship, Luke, on radio.
Could this potentially be, these players are away from their families, it could be for what, 2, 3, 4 months?
Oh, Cherie, please. Every bloke is sick and tired. It was a great thing a week ago of being at home with your partner. Every bloke wants out at the moment, and every wife wants out. That's the first thing. Second thing is, you're paid to play. You know what? If you're in the forces and you have to go over to fight for your country, you go for 6 months. You're a professional footballer. You want to get paid? They're on 25%. Some of them aren't getting paid. I'm sure you gave them the option, hey, feed your family, but you're not going to see them for a month because you're going to be at Tangalooma for 2 months, they'll be taking that. If not, go and get there's a whole tribe of kids that want to play NRL. Go and get the next man up. I'm sorry. That is not an excuse for me.
Oh, I'm not involved in the NRL, but can I please go for a couple of months as well? hey, Dobbo, before we go, mate, give us a percentage of the chance of this happening. What do you think the percentage is?
70%, 60 to 70%.
Wow.
Well, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, and good one, mate.
It's
honestly,
being discussed. It is being discussed, Luke. Like it is really.
Yeah.
Foxtel have ticked it off. That my understanding, talking to the owners of Tangalooma and Chris Johns yesterday, that Beck Frizzell's, they've been briefed and they've seen the proposal and they're happy with it. Paul White from the Broncos has seen it as well. My understanding is, and it's on Peter Volandi's desk at the moment and he's looking at it now. I'm not going to lie, Peter Volandis loves Calliope. I don't know if he played for the Roosters up there, one of the great rugby league clubs or something, or he's had a horse run out of Gladstone that won him a lot of money, but it is a dump tip up there. Like, no disrespect to Central Queensland. You wouldn't send your worst friend to Calliope or Gladstone if you had a choice.
I think what it is, Dobbo, the NRL hasn't got a great history of sending players to islands. I'm only just thinking back to Christmas and Bali. But,
yeah,
mate,
true.
We love the idea, mate, and let's hope it gets off the ground. We're missing rugby league at the moment. And I miss you, my brother. Thank you so much
Good
for your
you,
time
mate.
This afternoon. We appreciate it. There he goes, Ben Dobbin. See him tonight on Nine News.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Cherie, I've got a question for you without notice about this whole coronavirus pandemic sure. we're stuck in at the moment. And I want you to consider the answer before you give it to me. Do you think there's a single person here on the Gold Coast who has done an at-home exercise regime and not posted it on social media?
No, I think every single person on the face of the planet has got an exercise regime, a recipe. I've seen every child on the Gold Coast do their homework at home, their schoolwork at home. Seriously, it's ridiculous. And I'm sick of seeing grown women at lunchtime in their pajamas.
Oh, I'm so sick of seeing people do their exercise regimes at home. You know you can do it. You know your body benefits from it even if you don't put it on Instagram. You know
yeah, exactly,
that,
exactly right. But maybe this is just their attention. They love all that attention. They're panicking because they can't go out in public.
But I've got to say that there are a lot of gyms around the coast and personal trainers around the coast who've put out, PT sessions for online. And that I'm all for. I'm with, Cherie, I swear I'm healthier now that I'm sequestered doing the isolation thing than I was before. And I was pretty healthy before because I've got nothing else to do but exercise.
I wasn't healthy before. I was terribly unhealthy. But I reckon I'm more in the past week, 8 days, however long it's been, I'm definitely healthier.
Well, they reckon that drinking has increased. People are drinking more now that we've got this pandemic on. And it might surprise you, but we spoke about it earlier in the show that Donald Trump is a complete teetotaler. He doesn't drink at all, Donald Trump.
No, he doesn't. But maybe he got a text message about April Fool's Day.
You think so? And then he raced to the bottle shop and got stuck in. Well, we think he's a bit big enough lunatic without drinking. But earlier in the show, if you missed it, we actually worked out what Donald Trump would sound like if he was drunk. We drunked him up. We slowed his voice down. And believe me, we don't need a drunk Donald Trump. Have a listen.
No, I didn't like when they came up. And it wasn't him. Somebody at a lower level, mid-level, we found out pretty much. But they made a statement that our soldiers brought it into China. No, it came from China. And, we just signed a very big deal with China. They're paying us a lot of money in tariffs.
How many guys like this have you met in your life?
They never paid us 10 cents. Look, China is...
You want to hear ScoMo, our Prime Minister?
Let's get ScoMo.
This is ScoMo if he was drunk.
Now, on bulk purchasing of supplies, stop hoarding. I can't be more blunt about it. Stop it. It's not sensible. It's not helpful. And I've got to say, it's been one of the most disappointing things I've seen in Australian behaviour in response to this crisis. Stop doing it. It's ridiculous. It's un-Australian.
We got one more. You know when he was having a go at that Andrew bloke in the press conference?
Oh yeah. Andrew, you've asked too many questions.
Yeah, that's what this was. This is what this would sound like if he was drunk.
Andrew, I'm sorry. You've had several questions. Andrew, I'm sorry. Andrew, I know, but you don't run the press conference, okay? So I'm going to go to other questions of members of the group. Catherine hasn't had a question. I'm happy to return to you, but let's just keep it civil.
I love it.
That seriously sounds like he's standing in a bar somewhere. That's brilliant.
Okay, we're racking off out of here. What are you doing tonight, Cherie? Anything interesting happening at Sanctuary
Coast? I'm doing nothing. Sanctuary Coast, so we have a morning walk and an evening walk. So we'll be doing that up and down the hills. We walk 1 minute, run 1 minute. So we'll be doing that. And no, nothing else, I don't think. I'm just finishing off my filing, which I've done. I'm so good. Tax department would love me right now.
Look at you.
No, that's about it. Quiet night.
Well, whatever you're up to this beautiful Wednesday night, stay safe, have a good one, and we'll be back tomorrow afternoon from 3 for your local drive home. Cop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.